Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for almost 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Terry Hartstadt from Stockade Companies. Stockade Companies are the franchisor for three different brands, Montana Mike's, Coyote Canyon, and Sirloin Stockade. With the incredible deals for real estate, they're offering some incredible incentives for new and existing franchisees. And that's coming up on segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for almost 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and it's a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great today. How about yourself, Marty? On the cover
Good, good. Happy summer to you. It's amazing that we've already hit the summer. You know, it's officially here, Don.
Right. Which, I would consider after Memorial Day, but yeah, officially, I guess, Monday. But it's hot enough. Feels like deep into summer.
Oh, yeah. It's been hitting, you know, again, you and I have the same climate, but it's like mid-90s, you know, the last couple days. It's been pretty brutal out there, you know, but it's still fun nevertheless. We have July 4th coming up, so looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Our last show, Don, we met with Chris Anderson and Dennis Mulganin of Empower Kit. And if you missed the show, Empower Kit is the ultimate toolkit for medium to large organizations to empower their employees, agents, or business units on the web. I thought this was a very important service. You know, I went back and listened to the show again a couple days ago, and it even made a lot more sense after listening to it a second time. You know, I think this is going to be an important service to the franchise community. Any thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I mean, just anything with computers and marketing, online, SEO, you know, what they're bringing to the franchisor is just consistency and, you know, managing, customizing, managing their own web presence. I think it's interesting. A lot of times these franchisors have a lot of franchisees. A lot of times they have their own website. It's a lot of inconsistency.
That's the problem.
So they're maximizing, I guess, having everything, together and in unison and having those individual franchisees maximize their local marketing and how to maximize. Obviously, any type of business, that's the world we live in now, is people going on their computer to find services and product. And these guys look like they have a great program as far as what they can bring to the franchisor and franchisee. So
I totally agree. I think what happens, too, Don, is I guess you're probably breaking something in the contract, too, for a franchisee. You know, if they're going out there and they're creating their own website, you know, which a lot more people are doing today. But, again, you know, you said it. They're not sending out a uniform or consistent message that the franchise is trying to send out. You know, and, again, that's why you're getting into franchising. I understand why some franchisees would want to do that. You know, I mean, like, for example, I was thinking when I was listening to the show again, it was a couple weeks back, there was a parade in Easton, you know, and a lot of the local businesses, and there's a bunch of franchises in there. I guess they had, like, tables or booths, whatever it was, you know, when they were doing the parade. And that's something that, you know, is more localized, because there are localized messages, but yet you want to keep it uniform and consistent with the franchise as well, you know, and they were using the word like rogue websites, and some of them look pretty bad. I mean, you can find them on the internet, by the way, and I'm sure a franchise flips out, you know, when they see that at times, and I just think it's an important service, and I think we're going to see a lot more of these guys providing the service to franchise.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, if they have a product, to have the franchisee manage their own website easier, more effectively, and basically to potentially dramatically improve their online marketing and get more sales and make sure they're on top of social media, which is, you know, really becoming necessary, and SEO and getting business. It's just, you know, they bring it all together. I like the name too, Empower Kit, and it should be interesting.
Clever name. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Dennis had that background in franchising. It's amazing how many people you see come back to franchising, isn't it? You know, when they're in it for, you know, so many years, they leave. I had that experience. I was in it for, you know, several years, left, you know, and then came back to it, because just appreciate the whole concept of franchising so much. You know, it is a great community of people to be working with. So So, yeah, you know, I'd like to, you know, keep our eye on them. Yeah, Chris used an interesting example. He was talking about, you were talking about SEO, Don, or search engine optimization. Just like little things, you know, like I think the example he used was like carpet cleaning. You know, like if you were to spill wine on your carpet, you know, what a lot of people do today is they go right to the internet, you know, because it's usually on. And you look up wine stains, carpet, you know, and hopefully, you know, you'll come up in the search engines, you know, so it is pretty interesting. There's lots of interesting tips out there to get good placement. on the internet.
And expanding on that, Marty, I found something through allbusiness.com, how social media is changing franchising.
Great segue, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about what EmpowerKid is looking to do. It says franchise companies are delivering on that expectation. Church's Chicken tempted fans to join its Twitter feed by giving away a dollar to every person who signed up during a 30-day period. Pizza Hut went on a hunt for a twintern, an intern who could use the Twitter lingo to keep fans up to date on Pizza Hut happenings.
Wow, that's the first time I heard that word.
Yeah, Papa John's launched its first Facebook-exclusive promotion in March. Meanwhile, Computer Explorers is using social media tools to reach out not only to consumers but potential investors as well. The company has a franchise development YouTube channel where testimonies are posted from new franchisees. It has a Facebook page where announcements are posted, advertising upcoming programs and videos, and it connects with others regularly via Twitter. We have identified the profile of a Computer Explorer franchisee and are concentrating on social media search to engage those individuals, says Deb Evans, president and CEO of Computer Explorers. These franchise companies, Marty, may be making headlines with their social media tactics, but they're just leading the pack in what's expected to quickly become a mass movement. I think that social media will be adopted by 80% of the franchisors in the next 2 to 3 years, is what they're saying. So, you know, here are a few potential clients for Chris and Dennis.
Absolutely, especially if you look at that statistic. It seems like a lot of, you know, some franchisors, maybe sometimes like the bigger ones, they seem a little slow sometimes to act, you know, to like, you know, changes in technology, like social media. You know, you do see some that have totally embraced it with open arms. Like you mentioned this company, what do they call, Computer Tots? You know, and then
Computer Explorers.
Computer Explorers, sorry about that. But, and some of them are still waiting, you know. It's like they think it's going to go away, you know.
Right.
And I don't think it is, you know. It's like this Internet thing. It's not going away. It's here to stay. So it does. It keeps things very interesting, that's for sure. You know, and it's interesting when we talk to our guest, Don, you know, like on segment 2 and segment 3, and we talk to them about technology, and, you know, a lot of them mention getting into the whole social media and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that other stuff. You know, it really is fascinating how some of them have embraced it, you know. So,
just recently, it says at the IFA's annual conference in February, several sessions focused on technology and social media joined forces with other franchisors. Evans at Computer Explorers conducts monthly conference calls with a small group of franchisor CEOs. Topic of conversation over the last few months has focused around social media. And she does that with other franchisors. Yeah.
Wow. She does it with other franchisors. So it's an interesting thing about franchising, isn't it? You know, how a lot of them, you know, they don't consider like each other like enemies. You know, of course there is competition and things like that, you know. But I'm always amazed with franchising, you know, when you go to like the conferences and things like that, you know, how a lot of them are very friendly with each other. And a lot of them even share best practices in between franchises, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I always found that interesting that, you know, they don't kind of keep it secret, you know. They're very, a lot of them, not all of them, are very open to sharing information and ideas. And again, I think that's one of the reasons I've always appreciated franchising. It's probably one of the reasons Dennis, our guest last week, appreciated franchising and came back, you know, to to the community. You know, there's a lot of great things going on.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting point in franchising. I guess, you know, everybody's seeing each other at the shows and everybody can learn from each other. There's, you know, there's business out there. These times have been tougher, of course, but why not just work with each other and try to improve your system, even if it's sometimes really getting to be friendly with a competitor.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess in some situations, there, you know, I guess your larger franchise systems, maybe there's not too much of that going on. But I'm sure, just like on my end on financing, you know, some of our competitors were, you know, we're friendly. We work with each other. We promote each other in what we do.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think that's better, you know, to be that way. And that's what franchising, that's what makes franchising so unique. You know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, people ask me, you know, why I appreciate franchising so much. And that's just one of the the hundreds of reasons what I love most about it, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. It's an important article.
Something else here, Marty, through Ohio.com. Franchise ownership, no shortcut to success. Business still requires finances, time, and effort. Owning a franchise.
Being Ohio.com, too? Not to cut you off, Don.
That's a very important website. It's a very important state. I've read some other stuff from them in the past. They
have
some
really?
Business content.
They've got some great information,
Owning a franchise is often depicted as being in business for yourself, but not completely alone. Franchise owners work under a proven successful business structure. They also have access to proven operational and marketing strategies and the franchisor's institutional guidance. Franchise ownership isn't as easy shortcut to success as with any other kind of small business. It's up to you to commit the finances, time, and effort to meet both the franchisor's goals and your own. That's why it pays to weigh the pros and cons of franchising to make sure it's right for you. According to the International Franchise Association, the IFA, franchise businesses are growing at a rapid pace. Some 400,000 franchise businesses employ nearly 10 million people with a payroll of $230 billion. There's always a hot new franchise on the scene. Curves, for example, a network of franchise women-only fitness centers grew nearly 38% in a single recent year.
Wow.
That franchise has been around a while. As you research franchises, ask about the required experience, if any, as well as the expected hours and personal commitment necessary to run the business. You also should learn about the franchisor's background. For example, what is the company's track record, and how are the other franchisees in the system doing? The upfront cost of buying the franchise is crucial, of course, but another important factor is how much you will pay for the continuing right to operate the business and what products or services you'll be required to buy from the franchisor. So the royalty fee, you want to have a good idea of what your overhead will be. The Franchising Basics section of IFA's website, which is franchise.org, offers extensive information about how franchising works, online discussion forums that cater to prospective owners, searchable database of more than 1,200 franchise opportunities. Don't forget about financing. If you're considering applying for a loan backed by the Small Business Administration, visit the SBA's Franchise Registry, franchiseregistry.com, or go to franchisefunding.net and get pre-qualified. See how I snuck that in there?
Nice segue. this is a great article, too, Don, because, you know, and sometimes we forget, or I forget, you know, to get back to, you know, the whole basics of franchising, you know, and that's what this article is really talking about, isn't it, you know? And
That's why I like to read these type of articles, yeah.
Yeah, it's important that we at least read them once a month, you know, and get back on track into the most basic elements of franchising. Of course, that you're buying into a system, a method of doing business, so you get the same result. As far as financials go, you know, a lot of times the franchisor does provide this information to prospective franchisees, so it gives them kind of an idea. You know, when you're starting your own business, whether it's a pizza shop or a sub shop, whatever it may be, you know, and you've never written a business plan, it might be a little difficult to come up with as far as estimates, you know, as far as what this thing is going to cost you. And when you go into it on your own, there may have been things that you overlooked, you know, and you're already too deep into the situation to get out and say, oh, my God, it's going to cost me $20,000 more. You know, I didn't realize how to do this, this, and this. So, again, it's another advantage of going into franchising because they've done it. They've made all the mistakes. They'll guide you. However, you have to be able to follow their system. It is a
and just to remind people that kind of what they're saying in the article, I mean, you know, just because you're buying a franchise, you know, doesn't mean you're going to work less or – but what it's doing is giving you a better chance for success, a quicker way to be profitable. You're not completely by yourself. You have the backing. You're getting trained, ongoing support. You have other franchisees to speak to. It's kind of a comforting feeling, you know, well worth the royalty. You definitely have to make sure you're making the right decision, doing your due diligence, that, you know, you have cash reserve, that, you know, you're not putting everything you have into this investment. It's good to have a reserve and so forth. And, you know, there's a heck of a lot of franchises out there now, so got to really do your homework and think about, are you going to be happy running this type of business? You have to really think about all aspects of the business just not something because the franchise is a well-known name and, hey, I'll eventually like it. You really got to think about if you're going to, you know, enjoy the work. And,
yeah.
You know, what
and how do you know that?
It's
one of the questions, too, and you were talking about this last week, is how do you know you're going to enjoy the work, you know? And there's some franchises out there today, seems like a lot more of them, are requiring you to spend some time working in the franchise, perhaps before you make a decision, you know? And I think that's a great
right.
idea, even if the franchisor doesn't require it. You know, if you say, okay, well, Subway, wow, they're such a successful franchise, you know, they you know, 34,000 units on the planet Earth. But are you actually going to enjoy working in that type of atmosphere day in and day out? You were telling a great story. It was a month ago on a new Subway franchisee. I think the guy was doing it for about a year, and he was downsized from corporate America. And I think his biggest surprise was he didn't realize he was going to work so much. You know, I think he was working,
right.
I think you mentioned 60 to 80 hours a week. So he was working more than his 40-hour-per-week job, you know, here owning his own business. You know, some people think...
And he didn't do that well starting out. You think, hey, I'll open a Subway,
no,
it's automatic,
yeah.
It's going to be profitable by my third week. That didn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen, you know. It takes a while. And I'm glad that the article referenced Subway because, again, you know, Subway is an exceptional franchise. You know, they've done a lot of things right to get to where they're at. So, I mean, if that's with a Subway, imagine what it is with some other franchise systems, you know, that may be
right.
unknown brand names. You know, it might be a bigger challenge. So, you know, and that's the great thing about our show, too, is we don't, you know, always paint this, like, rosy picture. You know, again, there's so many benefits to going into franchising, but there's a lot of things that people need to know before getting into it. I mean, this is a very...
Right.
Very big decision, and it's definitely not for everybody. That's for sure.
Good point. Yep.
Yeah. Good article.
Here's something, Marty. I'm not sure how much time we have. We can always expand on it next
yeah.
week. But on, it's legally speaking, 10 tips for FPRS, and I'll get into that in a second by Rochelle
mm-hmm.
Spandorf. How much can I make answering a candidate's most probing question legally? The first one, you know, should I make a financial performance representation? That's FPR, financial performance representation. This is on the franchisor side. And they answer that yes. Any type of representation, oral, written, or visual, that suggests or implies a specific level or range of actual or potential sales, income, or profits, gross or net, qualifies as a FPR. You can't make an FPR unless it is in your franchise disclosure document, the FDD, which by law every franchisee prospect has to get, which has all the details about that franchisor system. Between 20 and 30% of all franchisors make an FPR, which means some of your competitors share their numbers with your prospects. What impression do you leave if you don't share yours? If you have solid numbers, consider making an historical-based FPR. If you do, the law allows you to make specific written representations outside the FDD about a particular location or highlighting specific variables like a kiosk variation compared to a traditional retail. Without an FPR, you may not make financial representations on your website. But that's the first place prospects you know, usually check when they're investigating your concept or anything else.
Right.
Must that provide prospects with an FPR? No, but you can't tell prospects that the law forbids you from sharing information about sales, income, earnings, or profits. That's illegal. So it's must you have to tell prospects about your company's numbers? This is an interesting subject because...
Yeah, it is an interesting subject. I'm going to have to get hold of that article if you can send me a link to it or something like that, you know, and I want to go into that one a little deeper.
Right.
You know, and you know this too, Don, because we've studied the history of franchising. We've heard a lot of the great stories. You know, prior to 1979, there was no such thing in the old days. In 1979, they came out with a franchise law that required franchisors to disclose, 20-something elements
in what was called the UFOC document, Uniform Franchise Offering Circular. Today that's
right.
called an FDD, Franchise Disclosure Document. But before 1979, we've heard some of the stories. I mean, there were some disasters out there, you know, where franchisors were making some outlandish claims.
Right.
As far as I remember, one of them was Mini Pearl. I think it was like Mini Pearl franchise, and Mini Pearl knew nothing about it. You know, so they were kind of using her name, and what was happening was it was giving franchising a really bad name. So you had a lot of the big guns like McDonald's and KFC, and maybe it was Wendy's, appeal to Congress, you know, and the government, saying, look, you got to do something about this because franchising was getting that bad perception. For a while,
right.
you know. So by coming out with this franchise rule, where the franchisor does have to disclose all of this information, it helps so much in making a better decision for the franchisee, you know. And the franchise disclosure document, I think, is one of the best things that has ever happened to business, you know.
Right.
It really helps you make an intelligent decision. So. And when a franchise goes bad, you know, or they have a close, you know, a franchise closes, that goes in the FDD. So
right.
that's, you know, it's kind of like
this is really the first big question. I mean, obviously you're considering a franchise system. Hey, you know, how much can I make owning this franchise? This article
right.
is saying, you know, if a franchise system is profitable and the numbers are good, I mean, obviously they can use that to their advantage. They're definitely, you know, put in that information. But a franchisor doesn't have to
right.
put that in the FDD. So they're not required
right.
to do so.
It's a
selling
point.
Question
I mean,
was, what was that?
I said it's a selling point, you know what I
yeah,
mean, to
definitely.
Help sell the franchise. You know, I mean, if you've got a strong business model, you know, financially, that's why we've seen a lot of accountants get into a lot of these businesses, haven't we? You know, and you've
right.
got an accountant owning a restaurant, you know, it sounds weird, but... You know, the financials made sense to them.
The next question, may I provide actual operating results of franchisee or company units if I don't include an FPR in my FDD? And the answer is no. You may not advertise, earn $50,000 a month, or otherwise suggest or imply actual likely or possible results unless your FDD includes an FPR.
Okay.
Earn enough money to buy a Porsche is is an FPR. Does not matter
yeah.
that the information is true. Next one is, how can I communicate the value of my franchise opportunity if I don't make an FPR? Because it depends on what you want to say. You may tell prospects what their operating costs may be if you don't suggest net results.
Mm-hmm.
Says, okay, our purchasing power can shave 10% off your inventory cost.
Right.
That's okay. What's not okay is our purchasing power will boost net profits by 5%. So if you don't list actual numbers, you know, you have to be very careful in using like the word, you know, profitable franchise, and you know, using specific numbers or insinuating profit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you know, we can finish this up next week. Yeah.
Yeah, we should, because it's a very important topic, you know, that I like to continue discussing. And I see our guest Terry has called it. So why don't we do this now? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. we invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, now we have a great show today. We're meeting with Terry Hardstadt from Stockade Companies. And Stockade Companies are the franchisor for three different brands, Montana Mike's, Coyote Cannon, and Thrillline Stockade. With the incredible deals for real estate, they're offering some incredible incentives for new and existing franchisees. Hey, Terry, how you doing today?
Just excellent, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks, Terry, for coming on. Terry, join us as my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Terry.
Yeah, Terry, appreciate you coming on. We're excited to hear about some of the brands you have and how things have been growing. Appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here, and, fire away. Ready to share anything I can. Obviously, I'm excited about Stockade Companies and all four of our brands. I've been on board with Sirloin Stockade, which was the original name of the company, since 74. So you know what?
Wow!
I've lived the adventure. I've lived the growth of our company over the last couple decades, and it's still kicking, and glad to be here.
Great. That's fantastic. What were you doing before joining Stockade, Terry? I mean, again, that's a while back.
I came out of graduate school and wanted to get married, so had to have a job. And so I told my fiance at the time, I'll go ahead and start with Sirloin Stockade, and we'll get married, and then we'll get a real job. And I'm still looking for that real job.
There you go. Oh, that's fantastic. And where are you calling from, Terry, today?
Taylor, Texas, which is right outside of Austin, Texas.
Oh, good. Great. Is that where your headquarters is for the company as well?
That's where our headquarters is. We do have satellite offices in Hutchinson, Kansas, but the main home office here is in Taylor, Texas.
So tell us a little bit about the history of the company and which brand started first, when you started franchising.
Okay, Sirloin Stockade started in 1966, in August of 66, and was a brainchild, if you will, of a gentleman from Oklahoma City, and William Keel started the company and ran it for a number of years, and then sold it to Lucky Stores. He sold it to Lucky Stores in about 75 or 76, and Lucky Stores is a highly diversified retailer from the West Coast, and they pumped some money into it, and we grew about 45 to 50 stores a year for about 3 or 4 years, and so Sirloin Stockade was on the growth charts, and we operated up to 226 restaurants for a while. Lucky Stores then sold the company, and it sort of changed hands. It sold it to Golden Corral, and many of the sirloins were transformed into Golden Corrals, and all but 30 of them were made into Golden Corrals, and I'm going way back into the late 70s, early 80s now, and what was left was the 30 franchisees of Sirloin Stockade, and they formed a company unto themselves and bought themselves back away, and that was the genesis of Stockade Companies, and this group of 30 stores continued to grow and then developed the Coyote Canyon concept, developed the Sirloin Stockade of Mexico concept, and now have developed our next full-service steakhouse chain, Montana Mike's. So we've continued to grow, and we've taken that 30 stores now up to 91. So the company has grown and then fallen back to small numbers through acquisition and conversion, and now has grown back up almost to 100 restaurants. We hope to be there by the end of the year.
Wow, that's great, Terry. Some nice growth, some interesting history.
Yeah.
When an investor prospect, a franchisee, has interest in one of your brands, how do you describe the system to them? How are you guys different from your main competition, I guess, in this specific niche?
Well, certainly, I think the thing we would focus on is the individual attention to franchisees. We're not about numbers, but we're about quality support and more of a family atmosphere, if you will. We will stress the fact that we've got long-time operators and long-term people with our company that, we understand the ups and downs of the business and have seen the business continue to grow and flourish in good times and in bad times. And so I guess one of the things we would say as a point of differentiation is that when you're with us, you become part of a family, it's just not a matter of having a franchise consultant stop by, three times a year and fill out some paperwork and then leave. It's a matter of having people that will literally come in there and help you if you need more training with your management or more training and focusing on some of the co-worker positions. We have people that will come and stay for a day, a week, 10 days, whatever it needs to help you and then follow up again. So, our people are working with our franchisees as many as 6, 7, 8 times a year for whatever duration is needed in that particular location. So we don't just know these people as a name and a number. I mean, we know the wives' and husbands' names. We know the kids' names. And we're now, because we've been around a long time, we're on second generation. We're in there talking to the son, who's now taken the restaurant from the father, and now now he's starting to grow his family. So it really continues to be a Stockade Companies, even though it's a business, it continues to be a family oriented situation.
Yeah, and I think that's important to a lot of prospective franchisees too, Terry, is to have that that kind of family atmosphere. Don and I sometimes always wonder how. The bigger franchises like your Subways, where you have like 34,000 units, how you're able to maintain that family atmosphere. It must be very difficult, and I think there's a lot of people out there where that's very important to them, to have the ability to, you know, speak to someone like yourself or, you know, other people in the company just by picking up the phone, you know, and not making appointments and things like that. You know?
But you are exactly right. You are right on target there. It's a first name basis, and if somebody's got a problem or just a question or maybe it's just a frustration or just, you know,
right.
maybe something's going on a little different in court their town. Well,
yes.
One of the problems of being a franchisee sometimes is you feel a little bit alone and you're sort of like out on an island by yourself on occasion,
right.
and this gives you that relationship where you can call and really talk through some things, whether it's restaurant business or it could be personal business or it could be just the situations in your town. So you took the words out of my mouth. You're right on target there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Terry Hartstaff from Stockade Companies, and we were talking in segment one, Terry, about like technology and social media and all that other stuff. Has technology played a role in your franchise at all?
It has, but probably on a lesser scale than some. More of the fast food operators and the fast casual probably have been certainly more. Developed in those areas as a family steakhouse and or a family buffet, we continue to sort of delve into it. But I would be remiss if I said we're on the leading edge.
Right. Okay. Good. That's okay. And how big is your industry, Terry? I mean, this is a pretty big industry that we're talking about. Anytime we talk about food, the numbers are pretty high. Are there any hard numbers as far as how big this industry actually?
You know what? I don't know that I can give you some hard numbers across the board, but certainly in the hospitality and in the restaurant industry, it's one of the top billions of dollars and one of the top employers in a group situation across the board
right.
in America. My goodness, you know, it's amazing sometimes you talk to successful people, no matter what walk of life they've developed their careers into. It's amazing how many of them will say, well, yeah, I remember when I started. I did burgers, or I did flipped eggs, or I made pancakes, or I cooked this, or I cooked chicken. And there's certainly been a lot of very successful people who sort of cut their teeth on the hard work and the learning experiences of the restaurant industry. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the fun stories I like to tell about my partner, also one of the owners of our company, Tom Ford. He's the CEO and the senior partner of our firm now, but you know, he started as a dishwasher the very first day of the very first sirloin stockade in '66 in Oklahoma City. You know, and it sure is funny that all of a sudden the guy that's the opening day dishwasher can fast forward he's the partner of the company and generally the CEO of the firm. So there's been a lot of people that have done very, very well in their chosen career paths, but they started, you know, yeah.
And it's kind of sad because that, you know, the odds of that happening now are very low, with the way business is and how people transfer jobs and so forth. But that's a great story.
It is. It's a great story.
You know, the next thing I just wanted to mention. I mean, you have a couple different brands. Had to be any adjustments of what's, you know, been going on with the economy and. I mean, it's obviously been one of the roughest that this country's ever experienced. Have you had to make any adjustments to your brands in the last year, Terry?
I don't know that we've changed the concept at all. In some cases, we've changed some of the marketing approaches. We've probably been a little bit more aggressive, price aggressive on some of the dinner time meals in the casual dining Montana Mike's Steakhouse chain. You know,
right.
when times are good and the spendable income is out there in the general public, it's nice to get a certain average check. But in tough times, people still want to eat out and do eat out. But sometimes if they can, you know, drop down $1 or $2 on an entree price and feel like they're getting some kind of a value, certainly it'll continue to draw that and build that customer count. And we haven't slashed big time discounts, but we've certainly been a little bit more price aggressive with our Montana Mike's in the buffet segment, because it's such a value and we've got so much quality food out there. Really haven't been aggressive with pricing, just trying to stand the line and hot food hot and cold food cold.
Right.
The most aggressive thing we've done is in our franchising program, and the incentive program that we put together, and basically we just cut the franchise fee in half and cut the franchise royalties in half for the first 12 months they're open, and we did that for this year, 2010. Anybody that comes on board as a new franchisee or anybody of our existing franchisees that would like to take advantage of this incentive program, you know, we say let's do it, and really that we've gotten tremendous amount of calls and interest, and have signed a number of new franchisees, and have had existing people in our system sign up for another restaurant. So we've had a really nice growth spurt in 2010, which is sort of amazing coming off of the last 18 months. It's been pretty lean times.
Right.
Wow, that's great. We've seen some great, depending on what part of the country too, Terry, that we're talking about, but even some landlords giving some great deals to new franchisees as well, you know what I mean? So I think it's great that you guys do that for your new franchisees, because, you know, the upfront costs are always, you know, can be up there, and anywhere you can save the money initially in the beginning to get them going, I think that's fantastic, you know, so I can see why. Your phones have been ringing when you guys came up with that offer. I think that's fantastic.
We've just opened two Montana mics in the last two, in the last 2 months, one in each of the last 2 months. In both of those situations, they were existing closed restaurant facilities that our franchisee got for pennies on the dollar. And did the upgrade and the remodel situation, and then opened with a discounted rate the first year. And, these two franchisees of ours are just absolutely ecstatic that they're off and running like this with exactly what you said, entry investment that was considerably less and a quicker return that first year.
That's great. Terry, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely. Be delighted to.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Yeah, the first stage was burned.
I don't mind it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Terry Hartstadt from Stockade Companies. And Stockade Companies are the franchisor for three different brands, Montana Mike's, Coyote Canyon, and Sirloin Stockade. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Terry, tell us about some of the characteristics you look for in some of your franchisees. That's pretty important, of course.
Well, certainly there has to be an economic background that's going to allow them to get involved with one of our franchise locations or one of our franchise restaurants. Our restaurants are fairly large, fairly significant in the investment, and so they have to have the financial background to get involved in one of our restaurants. Above and beyond that, it's a matter of relationship and people. We want them to feel comfortable fitting into our company and working with our people, and we want to feel comfortable with them. We want to make sure that their goals and their career paths, whether it's for them or for their family or for their children, are in line with the way we like to do business. And without question, we would rather grow slow in a very prudent fashion than play the numbers game. Like I visited with you before, I've been around this business a long time, and we've seen a lot of people have seen a lot of growth in our industry. We would much rather take our growth slow, and if we just open anywhere from 5, 6, 7 or 8 restaurants a year, that's all I really care about. We would rather do it right and go slow. And we're also looking for hands-on ownership as compared to someone who just wants to be an investor, although there are many very successful people that invest and then hire management and then basically don't stay day-to-day involved or week-to-week involved in that business. We're a little bit more comfortable with people that stay involved with the concept and have an understanding of the concept. Doesn't mean that they are the assistant manager or the general manager of one of the restaurants, but certainly have a day-to-day involvement as an owner.
Yeah, it's great to
hear
that.
Yeah, and I think that's important
too,
Terry. Yeah, it is. It's important, Don, because, we've seen, Terry, we know that, and again, you've been in franchising a long time. I think some franchisors might be under pressure to sell, whether it's like 200 franchises in a year, So, I mean, where you guys don't have that pressure, where you're saying, you'd rather look for that perfect match. And that's probably why, I guess you guys are seeing, your franchise is being passed to like second generation families. I think that says a lot. I was like when I see that, the father passing the franchise to their children, and they continue with it, So I think that's very important. So I think that's great.
We one of the things that's been a point of differentiation for us is 18 years ago when we got involved in Mexico And certainly it has been a learning and growing experience for us, but now with 27 restaurants in Mexico and after 18 years, we've been through the rises and falls in the Mexico and the Mexican economy. We were there through the devaluation in 94 with what has gone on in the last 18 months or so. It doesn't take long to remember a year ago the swine flu epidemic, end of May, start of June, and then the economic situations in Mexico and all the other situations in Mexico. But what a wonderful, wonderful group of franchisees. What a wonderful country, and we're delighted to have been down there for 18 years and continued growth with 2 under construction in Mexico now and 3 more pending the rest of the year. So the whole Mexico part of our segment of our business has been a challenge, but yet a great growth vehicle.
That's great. What about the training, Terry? I mean, what's that like for your new franchisees? I mean, do they go to corporate headquarters? How does that work?
Well, certainly, like most, the discovery day when we're having people here and sitting down with the new prospective or the new franchisees with all of our staff members and letting them understand and know us as people above and beyond as different positions in the company and as a company structure itself. And then we have training stores where they will spend time going through all the parts of our operation, and we have training stores both in the U.S. for all of our concepts and training store designated training stores in Mexico. So we will ask the management to go through our management training program, and even if you're an owner of a franchise and you're not going to be day-to-day, but you're going to still be involved, then we will have an owner's training program that we go through. So you have a pretty good understanding of the nuts and bolts of the business. You, as an owner, you might not be totally proficient in every position in the restaurant, but you'll have an understanding of what the expectations are for that position.
That's great. It's all important. And what's the best way, Terry, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any like websites they can go to or any numbers they can call?
Certainly, www.stockadecompanies.com, and we can, you can go on all of our all four of our concepts there with the Sirloin Stockade, Montana Mike's, or the Sirloin Stockade Mexico, or the Coyote Canyon. So yeah, that way, or and go on the website, and our number's on there. I'd be more than happy to visit with anyone who might have an interest.
Great job, Terry.
I want to thank you again, Terry. Yeah, you've been a great guest, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Love to do it. Thank you for allowing us to visit a little bit about Stockade Companies. Have a very, very good rest of the week. And you know what? 4th of July is right around the corner. So enjoy our country's celebrations.
Same to you, Terry.
Thank you so much,
Terry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great guest. Huh, Don?
Yeah, I'm going out to. I'm going to get a steak lunch today. I'm
just
gonna
say it. These shows are killers sometimes. You know, it's just it just gets so hungry. You know, by the end of the show, you know, just imagining. But that's great. Their growth in Mexico too, isn't it? I didn't realize.
Yeah.
They had, you know, they were growing like that.
You know, it's great having Terry on. He's obviously very upbeat and excited about their brands and the growth. You know, I like how it's slow, sustained growth and really caring about their franchisees, the family atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's good to hear all that.
Yeah, and that's important to a lot of new prospective franchisees, you know, is having that family atmosphere. So I think that's great. So, you know, we'll keep our eye on Stocking and have them back, you know, in the future.
Definitely, right.
So good job on segment one today, Donna. For our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com where you can hear almost 200 interviews in the 4 years that we've been doing the show. Go to franchisefunding.net where you can talk to my friend Don about financing your franchise opportunity, and gofranchise.com. And I guess I'll be talking to you next week, Don, for another great show.
Definitely. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.